Accession number 27746, Reel 2.
This is George Stanley, Reel 2, HMS Belfast. So you were telling me, George, about you'd been on the Collingwood.
Yep.
And then you were doing some more training somewhere else.
Yep. After completing my basic training at HMS Collingwood, I went to HMS Excellent, Whale Island, which is the Navy's gunnery school. I went there and did a QR3s course. That was on heavy guns. I think I was there about 6 weeks.
QR3,
quarters rating.
Right.
Quarters rating, third class. I completed that course after about 6 weeks, and then I waited for a draft to a ship. Right. While I was waiting for a draft to this ship, to a ship, I was told, or at least they asked for tradesmen. Were there any tradesmen? Well, I realised what a fool I was to go in as a seaman instead of a tradesman.
Why was that?
Because, particularly a joiner, if you're a joiner, what joiner name is a joiner, straight away you pick up the hook, which is equivalent to a corporal. Straight in your join, which is obviously much better pay. Anyway, while I was at Whale Island, I did a trade test in Portsmouth Dockyard for a joiner. And I've got the certificate, actually, and
have
I
you?
Passed.
Very fine.
Right. In the meantime, I went back to Whale Island and waited for my draft. Anyway, eventually...
So what were you doing while you were waiting?
Guard duty.
Yes.
What they called Stamshaw Guard, which was on the main gates at Whale Island.
Yes.
Which, I don't know if you know Whale Island at all?
No.
Well, actually, it's a bridge. It is an island.
Yes.
And it's a bridge goes from the mainland. It's in Portsmouth Harbour.
Right.
Anyway, it's still, obviously, whether it's a gunnery school, I don't know.
Mm.
But it was the gunnery school of the Royal Navy.
Right.
It was the school. Everything was done at the double. During working hours, directly across that bridge, everything was done at the double. During working hours.
Yes.
And you was never allowed to walk across the parade ground.
Why was that?
Well, that was it. That was
the rule.
When you pass on the parade ground, even during daylight hour or any time, you had to do it at the double, in a trot. But during working hours, just during the daytime, once you crossed that bridge, or halfway across the bridge, you had to double. You know, that was the rules. It was so strict, you know.
Mm.
Anyway, after I did my trade test in Portsmouth Dockyard for a joiner, I did guard duty, which was at Stamshaw, what they call Stamshaw Guard, and just wasted time waiting for me draft. When it eventually came through, I think it was August or July 1943, to HMS Belfast.
Before we go on to HMS Belfast, could I just ask you a bit about your training on the guns? A little bit about what you had to do.
Well, drill, gun drill.
Can you remember any of it?
Yeah, well, now take the Belfast example, centre gun A turret. There's number one, which is a gun layer, number two, which is the captain, three and four were the rammers, ram the shell home. Five was what they called a tray worker, which...
What was a tray worker?
The tray was where the shell came up and hoist onto a tray. The tray was pulled round to the breech of the gun. The rammers would ram the shell home.
Yeah.
Then number six, he was the cordite handler. Two bags of cordite used to come up and hoist. He'd put them in into the breech, push them in with his fist. The breech will be closed, then the gun will be laid.
What does that mean?
Elevated.
So right. They call that being laid, so then it went up?
Well, I was the gun layer of A turret.
Right.
18-year-old layer of the gun turret. Right. What my job was, as I say, to lay the gun. If you go on the Belfast, the A turret is the one that's open. There's a seat, there's the gun. Right, there's three guns in the turret, obviously, you know that. There's the gun, the barrel of the gun there, right close. And you've got a dial in front of you with a lever and a wheel. And there's two pointers on that dial. One is from the director tower, which is directed by from the officer at the director. And there's another arrow, which is the gun. And you have to keep those lined up.
Right.
Can you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I can.
Once the gun was loaded, right, you had to get the gun into the dial would show the arrow, which would move pretty swiftly, and you put the gun in the lay position by the lever.
The lay position.
For firing.
Yeah.
Right. You did that with the lever. Then because that's moving sort of like that all the time, so you're doing that by hand. You've got a wheel in front. You're doing that, keeping it in line, and that's the gun layer's job.
Right. Now so you're dependent on the instructions from
the director tower.
From the director tower, who's the observation?
Yep. That would be the officer.
Right.
You know, he'd probably be a lieutenant commander, I should imagine.
Right. And how does he send his message to you?
Well, through electrically, I suppose.
Yes.
I imagine. I mean, I don't see any other way. It could be, you know.
So he's got some instrument that he's moving. Oh, and the signals go down to where you are.
That's right, signal, yeah. He's laying the gun. He's firing, he's positioning the gun to fire to the enemy, you know. But in the turret, have you been in the Belvoir turret? Well, if you go in that turret, you realise there's about 20 to 30 men in there. There's the guns, six gun of each gun crew, 18 men. You've got the officer to watch, the petty officer to watch. You've got the communications man. You've got the gun trainer, right? Now, the gun trainer is trains a gun.
Yeah, pointing it at the right place.
Yeah, that's right. Now, that man, he was the only man who got awarded a medal.
Was he?
He was awarded a medal, yeah, when the Charles got sunk, you know. But anyway.
Well, because he'd hit it, presumably.
Well, I mean, guns that would be laid in the right position, too.
So you think that it shouldn't have just been him?
I've played a vital part in that business.
Yes.
Because there's no thing, I've never heard anybody talk about since. Now, one time during that action, we first went to action at 8:30 in the morning on the Boxing Day. During that action, now I know the sea was pretty rough at the time.
You're talking about now the Scharnhorst.
Scharnhorst, yeah, yes. The Scharnhorst. At one stage, there was the three guns, whether it was a rough sea or a near miss, the three guns were lifted and hit the bottom of the gunwale. Now, I've never heard anybody say anything about this since. Now, I remember it vividly. Now, whether it was a near miss from the Scharnhorst or whether it was a rough sea, I'd be surprised if it was a sea. Mm. But nobody ever said anything about it. Mm. Another aspect of it...
What were your reactions at the time?
No, I can't remember, really. It was just one of those things. It was so quick, you know. Another aspect, the officer of the turret was Ronald Howard, the son of Leslie Howard. You know Leslie Howard, the actor?
Yes, yes.
Now, his name was Ronald Howard. He was the son. And he didn't know what was happening.
Why?
I don't know. There was so much going on.
Mm.
So much going on, mm. You know. Mm. I mean, we're talking about, I suppose, must be a half dozen rounds a minute, I should think. I don't know.
Mm.
It was all action. Everything is happening, you know.
Mm.
But that was it. That to me, that stands in my memory more than anything.
So these three guns lifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I say, nobody... I've spoken to people since. Of course, I haven't spoken to anybody who was in the turret at the same time. You know, I've never spoken to anybody. You know, I don't know of anybody that was in the turret with me at the time. I've never met them since. I know them. If I met them, I know who they were. But as far as I know, none of them have joined the association.
Mm.
Only this Harry Beasley. He was a cook.
Yes.
Now, what his job was, he was in the shell room. That was his job at Action Station. No chance if anything happened. He was down in the shell room, about four decks below. That's what all the cooks... They talk about cooks got an easy job. They had some dangerous jobs as well.
Did they? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the significance of him being in the shell room? I mean, why was it so dangerous?
Well, because, I mean... you're three decks below, you've got hundreds of shelves around you. Below that, you've got the magazine, where all the cordite is, which if anything happened there, you had no chance.
Yes, they'd all go up.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what happened to when the Hood got sunk. Everything hit the magazine, didn't it? And the whole ship blown up, that was it. Mm. But you wasn't aware of that. You weren't aware of the danger. You know, you were so involved with what was going on. And, you know, that was it. You know.
Why do you think people weren't aware of it?
Well, because
they were very young,
Young. I was probably one of the youngest. I mean, I think the old petty officer, he must have been about 40, which was an old man, you know. But we're all in our teens and 20s, you know. Mm. One man I remember, he was 26 and he was an old man to me.
Well, I'm going to take you back to when you left Portsmouth. That was the journey you took. Which date was that? Can you remember the date on that was?
That must have been sometime in September 1943. As I say, we went from Portsmouth Barracks right up to Scapa Flow.
And you'd been for 3 months in Portsmouth, was it?
I was at Collingwood up till April. There was April, May, June, July, August. I was about 5 months in Portsmouth, HMS Excellent, Whale Island.
Right.
Must have been about 5 months.
Right. Was your training?
Well, that was the training for the gun.
That was your gun training.
The gunnery training. The basic training was at HMS Collingwood.
Yes.
That was from February to April.
Right.
February,
so
March.
You had quite a long training, really. Yes. And then you were starting to tell me as you'd finished your gun training, you then decided to go in as a carpenter.
A joiner, yeah.
As a joiner. So, and you took your test. Is that when they decided to send you to the Belfast?
Yep. Well, I did my trade test in Portsmouth Dockyard. I went back to HMS. Excellent, Whale Island, and I waited there for a draft for a ship, which was eventually was the Belfast. While I was in those couple of months or so, I was a Stamshaw guard, did guard duties, general duties, you know. But then when I joined the Belfast, and I was on the Belfast 9 months.
Right. It had just had a refit, the Belfast, hadn't it, when you joined it? It had been out of action at some point.
Oh, no, that was in 1939.
Right.
It mined in 1939. Mm. It didn't come back into commission until 1942.
Right, and you joined it?
In 43.
Right.
Oh, no. She'd been up to Russia a couple of times in the meantime.
Right.
On the Russian convoys.
Right.
And that's where, you know, prior to the sinking of the Charnels, we went up to Russia anyway. And remember vividly going to a place Koda Inlet, just outside Murmansk, and the kids 13 or 14 going around with rifles. Some were living in holes in the ground, you know.
I'll come on to that in a little while.
Yeah.
Just to take you back to when you were joining up, were you pleased to be going to the Belfast?
A bit apprehensive, actually. Yeah. Didn't know what's going to happen, did I? I mean, I knew that I was going to be seasick.
Oh, right. How did you know that?
Because when we went from Thurso to Scapa Flow, I was seasick on the little drifter that took us up there. Well, it was a very rough sea, and it was a terrible experience.
Had you been out on the water much before that?
Very little. A little bit in training around Portsmouth Dockyard, Portsmouth Harbour. Not much. But anyway, what I was going to say about seasickness, directly we got outside the boom at Scapa Flow, I was seasick. Every time we went to sea, I was seasick for the first two or three days. Then after that, I could stop at sea forever. Never seasick.
But every new journey, it was the first
every
two
time
or three days.
I think it was psychological, really. Because once I've been at sea for two or three days, okay, no trouble.
Yeah, you got used to it.
You know, but that was my experience of, you know.
How did you find... being with lots of people for the first time? You know, I mean, I know you'd been in the huts with people during your training, but when you were actually on the Belfast, that was the first time you'd actually been on the boat, was it?
Yeah.
For a stretch
of time.
It was
a very happy ship.
It was a happy
ship. Very happy ship. And in our mess, our P-23 mess, there must have been, not as big as this room, there must have been 20 of us living in there, you know. And another thing I remember
very well. And how big is this room? This is sort of what?
Not very big, really.
It's about 10 foot by 10 foot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very, very small. And you've got the mess tables and everything in there.
And there were 20 of you there?
Yeah. And the one thing about... Baron, we'd been at war for nearly 4 years then, and rationing was on for... Belfast had wonderful cooked, wonderful bread and wonderful sausages.
Oh, did it?
Beautiful sausages.
Was this due to Harry?
And, of course, the fact that I knew Harry, I don't say I got preferential treatment, but we used to get that little bit, you know. And, of course, the fact that I knew Harry, I was one of the favourites in the mess, because we used to get that little bit. All we used to do our own cooking was the potatoes. We used to prepare the potatoes.
Yeah.
We put them in a netted bag, and that was put in there. But that's all the cooking we did.
Yeah.
And make our own tea, of course.
Yes. And how did you find the sleeping arrangements? Was it claustrophobic or...?
No, hammocks, very comfortable. Very comfortable. Very close. You're about 18 inches for each hammock,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But you didn't mind that?
No, nope, loved it. Sleep. Matter of fact, when I came home on leave, I couldn't sleep on a four-poster. But another thing, terrible thing, really. We used to wake up, come round, wake us in the morning, probably up by 6-7 o'clock. We used to get up, and particularly if it was at sea, one of the lads used to go in and get a bucket of water, and we all of us used to wash in that bucket of water.
Oh dear!
Can you imagine what the last one?
Oh dear!
Yeah, I don't know why we did, but we used to just have a sluice, like, you know. But all of you used to crawl through that bucket of water.
Didn't anybody want to go and get another one?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, what was the so the food was really good.
Well, the bread and the sausages were very good, but. Most time, we almost every breakfast was HRTS, herrings in tomato sauce.
Was it HRTS?
Herrings in tomato sauce. That was almost every breakfast. But we used to have good meals, good meals. Hmm. As I say, the bread and sausages were outstanding to me.
What about inspections? Did you have many of those?
Oh, yeah. Officer of Days, every night, just come round the mess. Every night.
Every night?
Evening.
And what were you expected to
keep
do?
Keep the place tidy, clean.
Yes.
You know.
And what would happen if it wasn't?
Well, the killick of the mess. I mean, we had what they call a killick, was a leading hand, which was one anchor. He was a killick of the mess. We had a rude name for him.
What was his real name? Can you remember what his real name was? You only remember the rude one.
I know there was a Rattler Morgan, and he was a bit of a queer. He was an old sailor. He was what they call a two badger. That means to say he'd been in the Navy for at least eight years.
Oh, right.
So he joined the Navy before the war.
Yes.
Now he'd been. One of his ships had sunk under him, and he would never sleep at sea below the waterline.
Wouldn't he?
He would never sleep. Mm. And actually, he was a gun layer of the right-hand gun.
Was he?
Yeah, Rattler Morgan. Yes. He was an old man to me.
Yes.
He must have been 28, something like that. Rattler Morgan. And he was a friend of the Celtic of the Mist. They were on what they called old ships. They served in the same ship before.
Right.
Rattler Morgan, remember him? Yeah. But
did you ever get into trouble?
Yeah, but that's later.
That was later. Yeah.
The only time I got in trouble was I missed one of my duties when we was in Arva was motorboats crew. Right, motorboats crew. That was one of my duties, and I was what they call a fender boy.
Oh, so what did that entail?
Well, all ships had motorboats.
Yes.
Were used in Arva for carrying the admiral, the captain of different ships. The fact that we were the 10th cruiser squadron. Admiral Burnett was the commander of the 10th cruiser squadron, which Belfast was part of. Yeah. So consequently, he directly we got in Arva. Usually, he went to other ships, you know. And I was a motorboat's crew, and I was a fender boy, which was when we went out alongside. I had what they call a fender. Which is a pad that went between the boat and the ship. We went alongside.
You had to drop it over.
Bang it over the side.
Yes, you know. Make sure it didn't bang.
That's right.
It.
That's yeah. right. Fender boy. Yes. That was my. And believe me, in Scapa Flow there were some rough seas.
Yes.
And even in Scapa Flow, I'll tell you, and all that used to get drenched. And what we used to have to do. The motorboat was tied to a boom, which was on the side of the ship. And we used to crawl out on this boom and down a Jacob's ladder to get on the motorboat. And that was very airy, you know, very dodgy.
Yes,
but that was all part of the job.
You call it a Jacob's ladder?
Pardon?
You call it a Jacob's ladder?
It's a Jacob's ladder, yeah. That was just a rope ladder.
A rope ladder.
With rungs, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a bit you didn't like?
Didn't like that at all.
No.
Did not like that at all. But that was part of the job. Anyway, as I say, I missed a call on one occasion, and I got called up. I went before the commander. I think I got 7 days for something. But we was at sea anyway, so it didn't make any difference.
So when they said 7 days, what did they mean for 7 days?
Well, you had to report to the officer to watch. You had certain little duties to do. Nothing serious, you know.
Yes.
But normally it would be stoppage of leave, but we was at sea anyway, so
he right.
didn't get any leave anyway.
Right.
I think it was 7 days, something like that anyway.
Yes.
Because I missed a call.
Yes.
I missed a bugle call.
Yes.
Marines. We had Marines aboard. All calls were by bugle.
Were they?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many calls did you have a day usually?
Oh, could be dozens.
Could it?
Could be. Oh yeah, as you know.
And what were they for?
Well, different routines in the ship, calling different parts of the ship. You know,
so the bugle was a bit like a school bell, was it?
Well, the bell was that was rung every. There was the watches were right. 8 to 12 in the morning was the morning watch, right. 12 to 4 was the afternoon watch. 4 to 6 was the first dog watch. 6 to 8 was the second dog watch. 8 to 12 was the first watch. And 12 to 4 was the middle watch, which was the worst watch.
Was it?
That's what they used to call all night in with the guts kicked out.
All night with the guts kicked
yeah.
out?
All night in with the guts. That was, you know. As I say, I was only on Belfast 9 months, but I learned a hell of a lot about the Navy.
Yes.
I learned more about the Navy in those 9 months and all the rest of the year put together. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
don't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know.
So were you on the watch?
Well, what we used to call was degrees of readiness. Well, action station was everybody was in the turret, all
yes.
the action stations. First degree of readiness would be one guns crew in the turret. The other two guns crews would be below the decks in the turret, in the trunk of the turret. In the tank space, and we was there 24 hours a day.
Mm.
We had food. All we had brought to us was passers kai, which is cocoa, and corned beef sandwiches. That's when we were at what they call first degree of readiness.
In the turret.
In the turret.
Yeah.
That was a routine.
And was it quite small, being in the turret?
Oh, well, you go inside a turret, you realise what you know. I'm saying the size of this, but it's nowhere near the size of this.
How many feet is the turret?
How many feet?
Yeah.
The size?
Yeah.
Well, you've got the width of the turret. I suppose about 30 square feet, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 40.
Mm.
But you just got to go and see it. You've got to go to the turret to see that.
Mm. I mean, we had to ask you to describe it, because not everyone will be able to go and see it.
No. It, you know, as I say, there must have been... When we were at action stations, there must have been between 23... as 18, about 24 men in that turret.
Yes.
At least 24 men in that turret.
And you were there all day?
On that particular day, on the Boxing Day, right, we was there, we was in the turret all day long.
Yes.
From 8 o'clock in the morning till 8, 10 o'clock at night.
So that was Boxing Day?
That was Boxing Day, 1943.
Yeah.
And we was in the turret all day long. As I say, we had brought to us passers kai, cocoa, and corned beef sandwiches. You know, and that was that day. That's the one day in my life, apart from getting married. It was, you know, when I think I was 18, and the more I think about it, you know, I think, how did I come to be there? Why was I there? You know. Strange.
Yes. And what did you think at the time?
Nothing.
Nothing. You just were doing it.
Just doing a job.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
I never thought about king and country or anything like that. I was just there.
Just getting on with the job.
Just doing a job. Mm. That's what I volunteered and that was it.
Mm.
Nothing spectacular. I mean, it was just it.
Mm.
But as I say, The day before, when either the admiral or the captain came over and said that they'd been informed that the Channels were put to sea, expected to make contact within the next 24 hours, and 8:30 the following morning, action stations.
Right.
Half past eight. And I think we opened fire about 8:30 in the morning.
And you've been on the boat since September?
Yeah.
So that was, you'd only been on there 4 months. It was about halfway through at the time that you were there. Just to go back to when you were first on the boat, because we'll come back to that day in a minute, because I think it's a really important day, isn't it? Can you remember what you were doing? Well, for instance, when you first boarded the Belfast at Scapa Flow, what can you remember? What were your first impressions of the boat? Ship?
Well, apprehensive, actually. I just didn't know what to expect.
Mm.
You know, went aboard the Belfast, carried me hammock.
Yeah, you know, but you had to carry your hammock.
My kit bag.
Yeah.
What was in the kit bag?
Yeah.
Well, all my other uniforms, all my toiletry, you know.
How many uniforms did you have?
We just had the two, actually.
Two. Yeah. Yeah, so that was...
One that I bought myself. One was what I was issued with and one that I bought, you know.
Were you all expected to buy?
Well, not really. I mean, I like to be a bit tiddly.
But you'd like to...
be a bit called tiddly, like, you know.
So what had you bought?
I bought another cap.
Yeah.
And I bought another collar.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So you can look
smart.
And I
bought another pair of trousers.
Oh, right.
They were real bill bottoms, they were. The issue ones weren't quite so wide at the bottom, but the ones that I bought were real, you know, wide bottom, bill bottoms, you know.
And did you roll them up?
No, they folded in what they call a Jacob's ladder. Seven creases.
Right.
You know, Jacob's ladder is supposed to have seven steps, so you call them a Jacob's, and you folded them up in seven folds.
Right.
Each leg was folded seven times.
How often did you do that?
Well, whenever you put them away, whenever you put them in your kit bag.
Oh, right. Oh, I see what you mean. So you folded them lengthways into seven?
No, long ways. You folded them, that's the leg of the
lengthways,
clothes.
Yes.
Folded.
Oh, I see.
Seven times.
Right.
Seven times.
Right.
And then you put them in your kit bag.
Right.
But, Of course, the hammock was carried the hammock. That was another thing. When you slung your hammock and you put it in the hammock, you had a hammock rack in the mess, you put seven rings round the hammock. You know, seven rings.
Yes.
With that hammock rope, you know.
Oh, I see. With the rope, you do it round seven times.
Yeah.
Why did you have to do that?
Well, that was...
That was the way you...
You know...
You kept it in the daytime.
That's right. And it was put in a... Stood up in a hammock rack. All the hammocks were put in an hammock rack in the corner of the mess.
Right.
Yeah. It's, you know...
And did the mess have any daylight coming?
No, we didn't, because we were below...
Because you were below the water.
Below the waterline, yeah.
Yes. Right. But this other bloke wouldn't sleep below.
He wouldn't sleep. He wouldn't sleep on the mess deck, not at sea.
Yeah. How many people were on board at the same time that you were?
It was over 1,000. Mm. I believe there was over 1,000.
Mm.
Well, we've got 500 members of the association now.
Have you? Yeah. And the people in your mess deck, did you...